Hare Krishna. We welcome you to tonight's Sunday festival. Last week we discussed the most important topic of the holy name of the Lord. And the topic was so important and so deep that we realized we needed another evening to discuss it. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the mature fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. And from the beginning to the end, and especially in the middle, Srimad Bhagavatam explains the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So today's verse comes at the beginning of Shukadev Goswami's instructions to Maharaj Parikshit, and it explains the or answers the important questions: who should chant the holy name? Why should they chant the holy name? And how should they chant the holy name? So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Etat.
Etat.
Nirvidyamananam. Ichitam. Akuta bhayam. Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Nripa.
Nripa.
Nirnitam.
Nirnitam.
Hare.
Hare.
Nama.
Nama.
Anu.
Anu.
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Etan nirvidyamananam.
Etan nirvidyamananam.
Ichitam akuto bhayam.
Ichitam akuto bhayam.
Yoginam nripanirnitam.
Yoginam nripanirnitam.
Harer namanu kirtanam.
Harer namanu kirtanam.
Etan nirvidyamananam.
Etan nirvidyamananam.
Ichitam akuto bhayam.
Ichitam akuto bhayam.
Yoginam nripanirnitam.
Yoginam nripanirnitam.
Harer namanu kirtanam.
Harer namanu kirtanam.
Etat.
Etat.
It is.
It is.
Nirvidyamananam.
Nirvidyamananam.
Of those who are completely free.
Of those who are completely free.
From all material desires.
From all material
Ichatam.
Ichatam.
Of those who are desirous.
Of those who are desirous.
Of all sorts of material enjoyment.
Of all sorts of material enjoyment.
Akutabhayam.
Akutabhayam.
Free from all doubts and fear.
Free from all doubts and fears.
Yoginam.
Yoginam.
Of all who are self-satisfied.
Of all who are self-satisfied.
Nripa.
Nripa.
O King.
O King.
Nirnitam.
Nirnitam.
Decided truth.
Decided truth.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
Nama.
Nama.
Holy name.
Holy name.
Anu.
Anu.
After someone.
After someone.
Always.
Always.
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Please repeat, O King.
O King.
Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
After the ways of the great authorities.
After the ways of the great authorities.
Is the doubtless and fearless way.
Is the doubtless and fearless way.
Of success for all.
Of success for all.
Including those who are free.
Including those who are free.
From all material desires.
From all material desires.
Those who are desirous.
Those who are desirous.
Of all material enjoyment.
Of all material enjoyment.
And also those who are self-satisfied.
And also those who are self-satisfied.
By dint of transcendental knowledge.
By dint of transcendental knowledge.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. So, as stated in the verse, there are three general categories mentioned, and if you think about it, you will certainly find that you fit into one of these categories or more. First, those who are free from all material desires. Raise your hand if you're free from all material desires. Okay. Those who are desirous of all material enjoyment. I won't embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand. And those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. And fortunately, there's another category which is beyond all of these categories, but in a way includes all of them, and that is the devotees of the Lord. They are free from material desires because they want only the satisfaction of the Lord. And they are self-satisfied in the sense that they're satisfied in devotional service, in the sense that they want only devotional service and nothing else. But they're not satisfied in the sense that they think, oh, now I've done enough, but they always want to do more to please Krishna and the devotees. So these are the different categories, and Srimad Bhagavatam says that chanting is the way of success for all of them. Whatever category you're in, if you chant in the proper way, you will attain success. Otherwise, there is no guarantee of success in any pursuit. One must receive the mercy of the Lord to be successful in any endeavor. And the way to achieve the mercy of the Lord is to chant, as stated in this verse. And another important word is anu. Anu means always or constantly. And anu also means to follow. So Srila Prabhupada has very beautifully translated the verse. Constant, that's one meaning of anu. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities. And that's the other meaning of anu, to follow. Now, what does it mean to follow the great authorities? Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī instructs that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be done loudly, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purāṇa. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if he commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. So this offense is considered the worst of all, to criticize devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. And it's one that we should be aware of and wary of. In fact, we should all be aware of all of the offenses, and we should all be wary of them. In other words, we should avoid them. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify or limit the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. So this is a very important point, that any name of the Supreme Lord has the full power of the Lord, and therefore any name of the Lord in any language is as good as any other name of the Lord. And therefore we encourage people to chant any name of the Lord. One example that comes to mind was in Tehran, Iran. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples became very inspired and eloquent and said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, he was waiting for the day when all of the Muslims in Iran would chant the name of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada replied, why only the name of Krishna? They can chant the name of Allah. We are not sectarian. So there's a deep truth there. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was also very practical. He might have foreseen certain consequences if the devotees went around trying to get people to stop chanting Allah and to chant Krishna instead. But the ultimate point is that we want to chant the holy name for us, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as he did and as he recommended. But otherwise, we encourage anyone to chant any name of the Supreme Lord. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. Oh yes, one important point about this second one is that we accept the chanting of any name of the Supreme Lord, but it is a mistake to consider the names of demigods, even powerful ones like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Krishna. And this is a very common misunderstanding in some quarters. They think that any name of any demigod, like, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, are the same as chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is not true. There is a distinction between the Supreme Lord and the demigods. The demigods are servants of the Lord, for sure, but they are not the supreme. Krishna is like the king, and the demigods are like ministers who have powerful positions in the court of the king, but they are not the king. Their power rests on the king's power, and they can be removed as well. Srila Prabhupada had one talk with some Hindu gentlemen in Bombay, and they were saying, like, all the names are the same, you know, Krishna, Shiva, Brahma, Durga, and then, you know, Prabhupada sort of finished the sentence, cat, dog, like. And they were saying, no, but these other names are different. These are, you know, these are names of God. And Srila Prabhupada explained that they're, not all of them are names of God. You know. And we have to know who is God and who is not God. And really chant the names of God. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender. And he cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one can be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with a hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. So by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become freed from the reactions to more sins than one can commit. And as Srila Prabhupada says, there is not the least exaggeration in such statements. But it depends on the quality of the chanting. But if one chants in a mood of helpless dependence on the Lord, then one will be freed from the reactions to more sins than one can even commit. But one should not, because the holy name is Krishna himself, so one shouldn't be cunning and think that he can cheat Krishna. That, all right, well, if I chant the holy name, I can be freed from sinful reactions. So I can deliberately commit sinful activities and chant and become freed from the reactions. So that is a very offensive mentality, and it won't work. It won't work at all. Srila Prabhupada, even in ritualistic activities, if one deliberately engages in sinful activities and performs some type of atonement to become free from the reaction, even in that field it won't work. So it's all right, whatever sins we've committed before we came. But once we come and begin the process of chanting, we should do our best to avoid committing further sinful activities. And if we do that, we will be freed. And all freed from sinful activities, freed from sinful reactions, means freed from suffering. Suffering is caused by the reactions to sinful activities, and sinful activities are caused by ignorance. So when you come to Krishna consciousness and understand the truth about life and the purpose of life and what to do and what not to do, you can make wonderful progress. But you cannot, deliberately engage in sinful activities and think, I've taken to Krishna consciousness, I'll get freed from the reactions by chanting or doing some other service. We have to be honest. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. So in 1973, in Bombay, the head of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan invited Srila Prabhupada she really wanted him to be the chairman of the conference. And the conference was how all the problems of the world could be solved by the Bhagavad Gita and Vedic culture. And before the first session, which was held in the big auditorium at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan, there was a gathering of the scholars and saintly persons and even political leaders who would be speaking. So there was one sadhu who had a big beard, and he said to Srila Prabhupada that he was gathering people together and telling them to chant the holy name, and that by chanting the holy name they could be cured of all of their diseases. So he said, I am gathering people together and you are gathering people together. I am getting them to chant the holy name and you're getting them to chant the holy name. So we should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are proposing is against our principles. And then he explained that the holy name is Krishna. We're not meant to make Krishna our servant to do what we want him to do for us, to cure us of our material diseases. But we are here to serve Krishna and to please him without any expectation of any material return. So this is pure devotional service, and this mood will bring us the real benefit from chanting. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. So, again, the holy name of Krishna is Krishna, and knowledge of Krishna is reserved for people who have faith. People don't have faith, that's all right, and we can bring them to the position of faith through logic and reason and argument. And when they come to the point of having faith in the devotional texts, then we can speak to them about the glories of Krishna, the glories of the holy name. But before then, we have to create faith by the proper methods. There was once a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and some professors in Stockholm, Sweden. And at one stage, one of Prabhupada's disciples started to, you know, to speak about the glories of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada stopped him. He said, this is an offense. You know, he doesn't have faith yet. And so if you speak about the glories of the holy name, he'll become even more doubtful, which is an offense. It's an offense to the holy name, because as servants of the holy name, we're trying to bring people closer to the holy name. And you know, if we speak the glories of the holy name to an unwilling audience or an unreceptive audience or a faithless audience, they'll have more doubts, and they may go further away from Krishna. I'll cite one example from my own experience. It's a little different, but my parents and sister came to visit me in India, and we were taking a flight to Srinagar, Kashmir, and on the flight I got the idea to preach to my father, who was sort of a rational type person, And Srila Prabhupada had written a book called Easy Journey to Other Planets, in which he used, you know, scientific terminology. So I thought, well, this is a good approach, you know, it uses scientific terminology. So I started to explain to my father how by yoga you could travel to different planets within the universe, but only by bhakti could you actually go beyond the universe and into the spiritual sky. And as I was speaking to him, I saw the expression of incredulity on his face. And as if he was thinking, son, I always worried about you when you joined the Hare Krishna movement, but now hearing this, I'm even more worried. Because he didn't have faith in what I was saying. You know, it all seemed fantastic to him, like unbelievable. And then I realized that, you know, that I had committed this offense, that I, you know, preaching to the faithless. And after that, I changed my approach, and things went much better. And with people, there's a difference between preaching about the glories of the holy name and engaging people in chanting or in other service. Like we had one devotee in Bombay named Haridas. He's still there. Somehow he, after Prabhupada had gone to Russia, somehow he arranged to go to Russia. And he wanted to chant, you know, in public, and he was chanting. And when people asked him what he was chanting, because in those days the government was communist, it was very strict, he said, oh, it's some cinema song from India. So that's okay. You know, nobody's going to commit offenses if they hear that. So we can create a situation where they hear the holy name, and hearing it, they may also want to chant it. But we should not tell them about the glories of the holy name until they're ready to hear it. Otherwise, they may just think we're crazy, and then that will hurt their chances. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. Now this is a very common one, unfortunately. I mean, we're sitting here, we're listening to the explanations of the transcendental glories, or the transcendental nature of the holy name. But even after hearing this philosophy or this instruction, if we are not interested in chanting, that's an offense. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. So, when we come into the material world, our actual identity is that we're eternal servants of Krishna. So when we come into the material world, not with the idea of serving Krishna, but with the idea of enjoying without Krishna, we need a new identity. We need a different identity. And that is called false ego. And false ego has two aspects. One is, I am the body, or I am the mind. We misidentify ourselves with the mind and body. And the other is, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. In other words, we're envious of Krishna's position, because actually Krishna's the enjoyer and the proprietor and the controller. But we come here, we want to take the place of Krishna. And to become free from material suffering, we have to give up that false identity and return to our original identity, our true identity as eternal servants of Krishna. And the chanting is meant to bring us to that position. But that will happen if we chant attentively. Otherwise, while we're chanting, we're thinking of so many other things based on false ego, wanting to enjoy and control and possess, then that's offensive. We're in the presence of Krishna, but we're not paying any attention to him. It's like related to this offense is the offense of pramadaha, or inattention. Pramadaha literally means madness. So it's like you're calling Krishna, you're calling Radharani, and then when they come, you don't pay any attention. It's like you invite someone into your home, and they come, and then when they come, you don't pay any attention to them. That's rude. That's offensive. How are they going to feel? So we're calling the name of Radha and Krishna, and the real purport is, if you call someone's name and then they ask, "Yes, what do you want?" So we're calling Hare Krishna, "What do you want?" And what will you say? "I want to pass my exam. I want to get a good job. I want to get a good spouse." Or I want to... what are you going to say? So in the mood of pure devotion, we say, "I want to serve you. I don't want anything other than your service," because that is the only thing that will really satisfy us. And so we're chanting, we're calling to Radha and Krishna, and they're saying, "Yes, what do you want?" "We want to serve you." And because of this flickering and unsteady nature of the mind, we can become very distracted while we chant, and then that's offensive. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by attentive chanting, one can become free from all the other offenses. And by inattentive chanting, we allow all the other offenses to flourish. So this is really, really critical. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, what do you want? We can pray, I want to hear your holy names. And we don't have to ask for something very distant. You know, we can ask for the thing that's really important at the moment, which is that we can hear the holy name. So that can be our prayer at the time of chanting. Please allow me to hear you. Please allow me to fix my mind upon you. And when we actually do that, then everything changes. And then we get the real effect. We become free from that false egotism, and we become happily situated in our actual positions as eternal servants of Krishna, of Radha and Krishna, their devotees. And another thing that will please the holy name is if we induce others to chant the holy name. That will really please the holy name. And whatever failings we have, we try to overcome them, but Krishna is so pleased when we make that effort to bring other people to him, or bring him to other people. He's so pleased that he overlooks our defects, or he rectifies us. And then when Krishna's pleased, we're successful. Our whole mission is to please Krishna. So that's there at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna says that he who explains the secret of devotional service, or the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, is his dearmost servant, and there will never be one more dear to Krishna than him. And for one who does this, devotional service is guaranteed, and in the end, he goes back to Krishna. And that's our humble service. I mean, if you want to become free from false ego, one way is to chant with attention, sincerely. And the other way is to approach people, to give them Krishna consciousness. Because most people don't want Krishna consciousness to begin with. They don't know about it. And therefore, we have to approach them in a humble mood. Dante nidaya chinakam padayor nipatya. That you the preacher, he takes this grass, the straw, in his mouth, in his teeth. Dante nidaya chinakam padayor nipatya. And he falls at the feet of the people he's approaching, and he says, "A sadhava, O saintly person or noble person." As this verse says, he praises him. And if you do that, then the person will naturally want to know what you have to say. If someone came up to you and fell at your feet and was praising you, then you think, oh, this person is recognizing my greatness. What does he want to say? And then, he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Whatever you have learned, whatever nonsense you have learned, and pretty much it's all nonsense, whatever nonsense you have learned, kick it out and just surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So that's our preaching method in humility. And then what is the teaching? The teaching is very simple. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskar. To always think of Krishna, become Krishna's devotee, bow down to him, worship him. It's something anyone can do. You don't have to be, you know, do yogic gymnastics or become a big scholar or a big businessman, or you don't have to do anything extraordinary. This is something anyone can do, a child can do. Think of Krishna. And the most easy way to think of Krishna is to chant the holy names and hear about Krishna. Anyone can do it. So it's very easy to preach. It's very easy to accept. And by this, we become recognized by Krishna. So it's really how we're meant to spend our lives. It's why Srila Prabhupada took so much trouble coming to America at the age of 70 and, you know, suffering two heart attacks at sea and undergoing so much difficulty. And then even after arriving, so why did he take so much trouble? It was for this reason, because he knew people were suffering, we're unhappy. And he knew that if we take to Krishna consciousness, we'll become happy and Krishna will be pleased. And so we're just meant to follow in his footsteps. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prem Vilas.
If somebody chants with a sincere mood, but he's unable to give up self gratification, then what happens?
Yes, that's a good question. Someone is chanting sincerely, but due to weakness, one is unable to give up sense gratification. I mentioned one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that describes this exact situation. And the verse says that if one understands that sense gratification leads to misery and tries to avoid it, but still, because of weakness, is unable to give it up, even though trying to give it up, that person should continue to engage in devotional service in a happy mood. And so this phrase, in a happy mood, is discussed. How could he be in a happy mood? And the answer is that he's in a happy mood because he knows that he has a tight relationship with Krishna. And so even though he's falling down, he's failing, he's falling down, but he continues in a happy mood because he knows that Krishna's there. And he knows that the only way he can overcome his weaknesses is by Krishna's mercy. But he's patient. He doesn't demand that, you know, I want you to give me this mercy immediately. I want to become freed immediately. But he's patient. He thinks Krishna may be merciful in this life, or in one month, or in 1 year, or in 10 years, or in some other lifetime. But I will never give up serving Krishna. And so he continues in that way, and he's happy. He's happy and he's confident in his relationship with Krishna. I'll send you that verse and purport because they're very instructive and encouraging. And the purport explains, this is the beginning of pure devotional service. You're repenting because you're failing, but you're not wavering in your determination to serve Krishna. And you won't give up serving Krishna for anything. Very good question. Any other questions or comments? So what comes next? Oh, prasadam. Upstairs? Oh, well, please excuse me. I've kept you from prasadam. But thank you for being patient and listening. And, you're free to take prasad or stay and chant, whatever pleases your soul. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Harinam Prabhu ki jai.